Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories from our media partners, but first, some local alerts and updates. This is KMUD News. From Humboldt County Public Works. The Humboldt County Department of Public Works will be conducting work in the Cedar Street area of Cutton beginning Monday, September 14th. Work will begin with construction of ADA curb ramps throughout the project area on Cedar Street, Cypress Avenue, Fern Street, and Redwood Street. Drainage improvements are also planned on Redwood Street. The final phase of the project will include resurfacing Cedar Street, weather permitting. Construction will take place on weekdays between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Travelers should expect minor delays, are encouraged to plan ahead, and to please follow all traffic control signs throughout the area. The project is funded by Measure O. If you have any concerns or questions regarding this project, please call 707-445-7448. From the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. On September 4th, Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies were conducting patrols in the area of Forest Drive and Shelter Cove when they located a white Ford F-550 dump truck parked in a driveway. The vehicle matched the description of a truck reportedly stolen during a residential burglary in the 9300 block of Wilder Ridge Road in Edersburg. The burglary occurred between December of 2025 and February 2nd of 2026 and involved the theft of items of significant value. Through follow-up investigation, deputies confirmed that the Ford F-550 parked at the Forest Drive residence was the stolen vehicle. On September 6th, Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies executed a search warrant at the Forest Drive residence. During the search, deputies recovered the stolen Ford F-550 dump truck and seized electronics and ammunition. Deputies also discovered a decapitated deer carcass inside an ice chest. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife responded to the scene and took possession of the carcass. During the search of the property, a subject fled from deputies. Deputies searched the surrounding area, but were unable to locate the subject. Deputies are pursuing leads and have identified a possible suspect. Once positive identification or an arrest is made, the sheriff's office will release additional information. Next is a message from the Humboldt County Elections Office. The following is a statement from Humboldt County Registrar of Voters Juan Pablo Cervantes regarding the United States Postal Service and the November election. Quote, over the past several months, proposed changes to the United States Postal Service rules and ongoing federal court challenges have created mail-in voting uncertainty nationwide. The legal landscape is still shifting, and it does not serve voters to pretend we know how these cases will be resolved before the courts rule. What we can do, and what we have done here in Humboldt, is prepare. Humboldt County's Office of Elections is ready for the November 3rd general election. We are working directly with our print and mail partners to adapt so voting stays smooth, secure, and accessible. Last-minute legal hurdles and logistics are our burden to carry, not yours. Your role as a voter is simple. Make a plan, choose the method you trust most, and vote early. Returning your ballot early is the best way to remove any doubt. It protects your ballot against delivery delays, gives you peace of mind, and ensures there's plenty of time to address any questions well before Election Day. When ballots are mailed out the week of October 5th, you will have several trusted ways to cast your vote. You can send it back through the mail with prepaid postage. Drop it off securely at an official 24/7 ballot drop box or cast it in person at a vote center. Early in-person voting also opens October 5th at the Humboldt County Office of Elections. We are located at 2426 6th Street in Eureka. If the debate around mail delivery gives you any hesitation, I encourage you to use an official drop box or a vote center where your ballot is handled directly by county election workers. For complete details on official drop box locations, vote center hours, and key deadlines, please consult your county voter information guide, which will be mailed to you in late September, or visit our website at humboldtgov.org/elections. Make your plan now, return your ballot as early as you can, and let us handle the logistics. Thank you for your trust, your patience, and most importantly, for participating. End quote. From the Rio Del Police Department. The Rio Del Police Department is aware of confusion circulating in the community regarding the recent Eureka PD arrest on September 3rd of an individual identified as Crystal Dawn Landry. Due to the similarity in names, some members of the public have mistakenly believed that the individual arrested was Corporal Kristen Lynn Landry of the Rio Del Police Department. That information is incorrect. Corporal Crystal Lynn Landry was not arrested, was not involved in the incident, has no connection to the arrest, and is not related in any way to Crystal Dawn Landry. From the Mattole Restoration Council. Prescribed fire operations in the Petrolia area are now planned for private grassland areas on Prosper Ridge on Thursday, September 10th. Mattole Restoration Council, with assistance from Honeydew Fire Company and likely CAL FIRE and Petrolia engines, plus the Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association, will be conducting prescribed fire operations in Petrolia, approximately 4.8 miles southwest of downtown Petrolia. There are 4 units of grassland that may be burned. Crews will put black line or mow ahead along borders of up to 30 acres of grassland. Actual ignition operations are dependent on conditions and will continue throughout the day. Patrol resources will be present at scene until no smoke is visible for 24 hours. A sign will be visible at the intersection of Lighthouse Road and Prosper Ridge Road. Grassland burns go rather quickly and are usually done at the end of the day. You can contact Ali, spelled A-L-I, at mattole.org for more information. And up next, stories from our media partners. This is KMUD News. Here are your Pacifica headlines for today, Wednesday, September 9th.
From WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin with these Pacifica News headlines. Today, Republicans are gathering in Dallas for an unusual midterm convention built heavily around President Trump, an event called Trumpapalooza. But the decision to put Trump at the center of the campaign is creating some unease among some Republicans. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
The two-day convention is the first major Republican midterm convention of its kind, with President Trump speaking both nights and J.D. Vance also taking the stage. But not every Republican is showing up. Some lawmakers and candidates in vulnerable districts are skipping the event, concerned that a convention dominated by Trump could make it harder to appeal to critical swing voters who are unhappy with the president or the economy. those concerns reflect the larger Republican problem heading into November. Trump remains highly influential with the party's base, but the Iran war and numerous domestic issues have caused him to grow in unpopularity. The convention is happening in the traditional Republican bastion of Texas, where Trump-backed Attorney General Ken Paxton is in a Senate race against Democrat James Tallarico. The key question is whether Trump can bring enough of his base to the polls without driving away moderate and independent voters.
In more news, for the first time in over a month, the per barrel cost of crude oil has risen above $100 per barrel. This comes as President Trump attempts to downplay the conflict. Here again is WPFW's Noah Portner.
Over the weekend, President Trump dismissed the Iran war as, quote, small potatoes, end quote, and claimed that Iran had been mostly taken over, even as global crude oil prices once again rise above a nerve-wracking benchmark. Brent crude oil rose above $100 per barrel in a major psychological blow to financial markets, but there are numerous real-world implications as well. In the U.S., the cost of a gallon of gas has surged from the pre-war level of $2.98 per barrel to $4.22 a barrel. In countries such as Nigeria and the Philippines, the increase has been far higher. Rising crude oil costs also makes flying more expensive, but the greatest danger of all is inflation. Higher fuel costs means that practically everything in the economy gets more expensive. Prices have risen this high before, but with Yemen now actively attacking Saudi Arabian oil and shipping, as well as the fact that the U.S. hit 5 Iranian oil tankers yesterday, the rise in crude oil prices represents a steady constant growth, not just short-term volatility.
And this week may be the unofficial start to the midterm election, which will determine the 120th U.S. Congress on November 3rd, but much is still at play on how that vote will take place. It is now up to the Supreme Court to decide if President Trump's plan to limit the use of a rule on mail-in balloting will happen. And in more election confusion, voters in Missouri still lack clarity on what election map they will be using. Secretary of State Denny Hoskins asked a federal judge today to block the Missouri Supreme Court from holding a contempt hearing over his decision to implement a congressional map the state court barred him from using. The map uses a GOP-approved gerrymander, which dismantles a Kansas City district currently represented by Democrat Emanuel Cleaver as part of a national redistricting push to secure more congressional seats for Republicans. Meanwhile, Denny Hoskins is still due in court tomorrow at 10 a.m. over the contempt request.
UN Human Rights Chief says we live in an age of extremes. KPFA reports.
Iran and the United States are back to firing missiles at each other. Child soldiers are being recruited in the reigniting war in Yemen. Fighting in southern Lebanon has escalated over the weekend, and the United Kingdom is levying sanctions over what it calls the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by terrorists in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. And that's not the half of it. Volker Türk is the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights.
There are now more than 60 wars involving at least one state, the highest number since the end of the Second World War. The surge in conflict between states takes us into particularly dangerous territory.
Türk was speaking Monday to the UN Human Rights Council, where he spoke about some of those wars between states.
I am alarmed by the resumption of attacks between the United States and Iran, affecting the entire Gulf region. Recent reports of civilian deaths and injuries, including at a wedding in Hormozgan province, are particularly concerning. the geopolitical and economic impacts of this entirely avoidable crisis are again reverberating around the world, and I appeal for an immediate return to negotiations.
He also spoke about the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war.
Russia's full-scale war in Ukraine, now in its fifth year, is on a menacing trajectory with soaring civilian casualties and intensified attacks on energy infrastructure. While the overwhelming majority of civilians killed are Ukrainians, there are also reports of growing numbers of deaths and injuries in Russia.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres picked up on some of the same points Tuesday when he spoke at a meeting of the General Assembly. And like Turk, he also spoke of other issues, climate change and record heat, the finance gap for meeting UN goals, and what he called world-changing technologies like artificial intelligence, and more.
This assembly took place at a moment of profound challenge for humanity. We have seen the destruction, death, and displacement of multiplying conflicts, the inequalities, injustices, anger, and poverty that result from a system that is stacked against those who are most vulnerable.
Amid the challenges, he offered some hope for optimism.
And the United Nations was created precisely for moments like these. And by yielding the timeless tools of diplomacy, debate, and dialogue, this 80th General Assembly came together to develop solutions.
The challenges, though, are formidable, as Human Rights Commissioner Turk said Monday.
We live in an age of extremes. Raging wars, painful polarization, climate chaos, and head-spinning technological change make people feel disoriented and even powerless.
Turk says strong forces are working to sustain that feeling of powerlessness, referring to tech moguls, populists, and vested interests who tell us these trends are inevitable. But Turk says the opposite is true.
History is full of brave people who took action to resist oppression and demand their rights. People who called out injustice and inequality, people who refused to accept their fate, coming together to channel the universal values that underpin our humanity. This truth is a force to be reckoned with, underpinning all that we are doing.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
Next is your National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Jill Freitas. The 2026 midterms shifted into top gear this week with showdowns set across the country. Nine Native candidates running for Congress made it to the general election, including three women trying to make history in the U.S. Senate. In Alaska, Mary Peltola is charging against Trump on health care and affordability in a race that has the president's attention squared right back at Peltola.
We have tens of thousands of Alaskans who could no longer afford health insurance. And we are getting crushed by corporate greed. Dan Sullivan, every single vote, votes along with corporate greed. He is there for every fat cat in the nation, from health care to fuel to groceries to transportation to heat. We are getting crushed.
The Alaska race includes incumbent Republican Dan Sullivan and a Democratic challenger named Dan J. Sullivan, a distinction President Donald Trump will harp on as the race goes forward.
It's close for one reason, that they have a phony Dan Sullivan. This guy's a phony. And he was put up by the Democrats, and they don't admit it, but it's been so proven. So I will go to Alaska to make sure that a great senator gets reelected. I will be going to Alaska. I'm going to be going the last 30 days before the election. I'll be making a lot of stops.
The remaining Native candidates for Congress include incumbents like Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas and Tom Cole and Josh Breachin from Oklahoma. Seeking new seats in the House are Jonathan Nez in Arizona, Bill Hill in Alaska, and Sean McCann in Michigan. Nikayla Jasmine Thomas is running as a Democratic Socialist for Oklahoma's Senate seat. A new aviation nonprofit in Alaska hopes to train the next generation of pilots connecting Alaska Native villages with supplies and the rest of the world. In part one of her two-part series, the Alaska Desk's Aliona Nyden from our flagship station KMBA reports on the organization's launch this summer.
Anchorage's Merrill Field was buzzing as about 100 people gathered to celebrate the launch of a new aviation nonprofit. The crowd included several young students, like Jordan Lewis. Lewis works as a ramper for Grant Aviation and is from the village of Chifornik in southwestern Alaska. He is only 22 years old, but he's already earned a private pilot license and over 250 hours of flight time. And he dreams even bigger.
I want to fly for the big airlines one day, but my small goal is to fly for like the rural villages first.
Lewis says he became interested in aviation because his grandfather was a village airline agent, and he'd follow him to meet the planes. He says the field is crucial in Alaska.
There's like hundreds and hundreds of villages that aren't on the road system, and I believe if it wasn't for aviation, most of those villages wouldn't continue to exist.
Lewis was one of the students who took aviation classes through a career training organization called Alaska Excel. The classes have been offered for about 8 years through different local organizations, but program leaders say the new nonprofit called PENIOC will help them get funding more reliably and make classes more sustainable. Students can enroll in piloting, aviation maintenance, and ground handling courses, as well as get mentorship and career opportunities through PENIOC. The program might offer a dispatcher course soon, too. Jamie Clays is the founder and chair of PENIOC.
It is very important for us to put rural kids in these positions because they do understand the terrain and the weather, and they have an invested interest in the community and the people they're flying.
That's Aliona Naiden reporting from Anchorage. I'm Jill Freitas.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
BizCon Alliance three-day conference takes place October 6th at the Foxwood Resort in Connecticut, connecting government and business decision makers to address today's federal, local, and tribal business landscape. More at BizConAlliance.com. Command Holdings supports this show.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
A landmark law, one of our country's largest sources of funding for maintenance and repair on public lands, expired last year. Suzanne Potter has more.
A landmark law, one of our country's largest sources of funding for maintenance and repair on public lands, expired last year. Now, a coalition of environmental groups is pressing Congress to restore it. Committees in both the House and Senate have passed a bill to reauthorize the Legacy Restoration Fund, meaning the next step would be floor votes. President Donald Trump signed the bipartisan Great American Outdoors Act in 2020, which established the fund. Rebecca Konefke with the Pew Charitable Trusts says the bill gives a boost to the environment and to the outdoor economy.
LRF has funded more than 1,600 projects across the country. And in 2025, the Great American Outdoors Act Legacy Restoration Fund was estimated to support an average of 17,000 jobs and contribute $2 billion to the U.S. economy.
She adds that in 2024, 332 million visits to national parks contributed an estimated $56 billion and more than 340,000 jobs to the U.S. economy. The funds go to priority-deferred maintenance projects to improve trails and infrastructure like roads, campsites, and visitor centers. Supervisor Rosemarie Smallcomb's district in Mariposa County includes a big chunk of Yosemite National Park and the gateway communities that depend on tourism. She says the Great American Outdoors Act funded badly needed upgrades to the sewer system in Yosemite Valley, but there's still a lot more to do there.
There's still over $1 billion in deferred maintenance, so we really need the funding stream to be able to maintain, repair, and make those public lands attractive to future generations.
The National Public Lands Repair Backlog is still estimated at more than $35 billion. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianca Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. KMUD News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmod.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, a national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiyut, Wilkut, and Katso people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.